In 1998, Britney Spears arrived on the world stage. The blueprint for a new type of pop star. By 2002, she was officially the most powerful celebrity in the world.
Britney! 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 Hey!
Just a few years later, she'd suffer a very public breakdown.
She was physically removed from her home, now being held on a 72-hour mental health evaluation.
Many said it was the end for Britney.
Emergency vehicles at night. Then, Britney in a dangling cage.
But she came back with headline tours, big-selling albums, and a Vegas residency.
A photograph of Britney behind the steering wheel of a car.
But since 2008, under a legal arrangement called the conservatorship, Britney has not been in control of where she goes, who she sees, and how she spends her money.
Britney Spears has been under a conservatorship for 12 years. What that means is that her dad has taken over her life and her finances.
The official line is it's about protection, saving Britney's fortune, and even her life. But dedicated fans have built a movement to free Britney from what they say is exploitation.
She's being kept against her will. She doesn't have any civil rights. She doesn't have any human rights.
They can put her in a nursing home. They can put her in a halfway house, and they're not going to let her go.
Please, free Britney.
But some say the fans have got it wrong.
If she didn't have a conservatorship, I would be concerned that Britney would be dead.
After 12 years, Britney is pushing back.
At age 38, Britney Spears is fighting her father in court, and the legal fight has energized the Free Britney movement.
If what the fans say is true, this is the biggest scandal in show business. As a journalist, I've been fascinated by the story for a long time. So in December 2020, when I was given access to a court hearing that could decide Britney's future, I knew I had to get to LA.
This has been fraudulent since day one. Britney never qualified for this conservatorship.
What I'd find is a story much darker and more complex than I'd imagined.
Her fans came after me hard. I was getting multiple death threats weekly.
The battle for Britney, fans, cash, and a conservatorship. 10 days until the conservatorship hearing. Los Angeles. Palm trees, the iconic Hollywood sign on the side of a hill, then the Walk of Fame.
This is Press Play on KCRW. I'm Madeline Brand. We're going to talk now about Britney Spears. For a lot of people, she's just another bubblegum pop star undone by fame. Then we have all witnessed her ups and downs, the shaved head, the suicide threat, the hospitalizations. During all that, a court appointed her father to be her conservator, and now her career and fortune are under the control of her father, meaning he controls her nearly $60 million estate.
This is Thousand Oaks in LA. It's celebrity land, home to some of the most well-known faces in the world. It's also where Britney lives her life under a conservatorship designed to protect those who lack the mental capacity to make decisions for themselves. I've come to meet Hayley, a superfan and part of the Free Britney movement. She's been campaigning against the conservatorship for most of her adult life. I want to know why.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
Are you all right? How's your day been?
It's been good. I've been ready to free Britney.
At what level of fan are you when it comes to the world of Britney?
Britney. Okay, so Britney is like my life. I remember just being like 5 and seeing Britney's VHS and being like, that's what I want to do. Like, that's what I want to be. And I love her. She's like my mom.
She's like your mom?
She's like my mom. Like, I feel like Britney, like, low-key raised me.
I'm kind of learning more and more every day about the Free Britney movement. Mm-hmm. I want you to give me an understanding of what the conservatorship is in Britney's life and how it affects her.
I mean, to me, it's like Britney's in jail, kind of. Not being able to talk to your friends, not being able to have the internet, your phone. She can't even make a phone call by herself.
Why are we not in a situation where Britney you know, just goes on her Instagram and just live streams and says this is the deal or does an interview. Why are we not in a situation where she can just clarify what's going on?
How do we know that Britney's not going live and there's not a gun being pointed to her head on the other side of the camera? I know that's dramatic, but we don't know. She is so controlled and processed. If a man did what Britney did in 2007, everyone would be like, oh, bro, sorry you had a rough year.
2007.
In 2007, Britney had a breakdown, widely thought to have been triggered by a divorce and custody battle over her children.
An image of Britney looking distressed.
On January 3rd, 2008, after locking herself in the bathroom and refusing to give the kids back to her ex-husband, she was hospitalized, placed in an involuntary psychiatric hold, whilst her father petitioned for a conservatorship. That came into effect just a month later.
If someone was to come to you and say, well, actually, the conservatorship is ultimately about keeping Britney safe, it's about a safety net, what would you say to them?
If it's been 12 years and everyone claims in her camp that she's getting better and she's had treatment, why isn't her rights being regained? And I believe there's doctors out there, this is my personal opinion, don't want to get anyone sued, this is not out there legally, but that are being paid off. For example, they have her on medication for dementia. I don't know any...
For dementia?
For dementia. I've seen dementia, and there's no way any dementia patient is going on world tours, doing Vegas residencies, is learning 27, like, back-to-back, like, combo numbers, full choreo. No, honey, that is not happening.
Haley loves Britney like she's part of the family. But some of the stuff she said sounded a bit out there to me. I mean, dementia, how is that even part of the conversation? I just thought, that can't be true. And this has to be a conspiracy theory. That's what I really thought. So I started having a look around, and there's a couple of fan sites that say they've got hold of some of the paperwork surrounding the conservatorship. I've got no way of knowing if these are legit, but this looks like it's linked to the conservatorship. It's referencing James Spears, that's Britney's dad. And then on the second page, there's a section where you have to tick a box, essentially justifying the reason for the conservatorship. And the box that's ticked, it says, the order relates to dementia placement or treatment as specified. And so there's only two options with that. Britney might have dementia. Now, I'm not a doctor, but if that's the case, then the world isn't aware of that. But the other option, that's the idea that she doesn't have dementia, but the conservatorship team have suggested that she has because they want to push the conservatorship through. And if that's the case, then that's terrifying.
2008, Britney, for the record.
In 2008, Britney was the subject of an MTV documentary, For the Record. It's the only time she's spoken about the conservatorship so candidly.
If I wasn't under the restraints that I'm under right now, you know, with all the lawyers and doctors and people analyzing me every day and all that kind of stuff. Like, if that wasn't there, I'd feel so liberated and feel like myself.
I'm guessing the conservatorship team weren't exactly happy about Britney speaking out.
It's just like Groundhog Day every day. You know, it's bad.
She's been silent on the subject ever since.
2020.
This is NPR News. And you are listening to Morning Edition right here on KCRW.
I looked it up, and dementia in under 65s accounts for less than 5% of cases across America. So as someone under 40, Britney is either in that tiny minority or there's something more sinister going on.
Hello, guys.
Hi.
I'm Ruby. Really nice to meet you.
I reached out to Leanne, Megan and Kevin, leaders of the Free Britney movement, to get their take.
For someone that doesn't know all the ins and outs of the case, tell me
some of the headlines that you've found out? What have you discovered?
Britney's diagnosis was a, quote, dementia-related illness, which clearly Britney Spears did not and does not have dementia.
You know, Britney was denied her right to due process and her right to a lawyer.
Said this has been fraudulent since day one. Britney never qualified for this conservatorship.
A lot of people say things like, well, isn't Britney crazy? Doesn't she need this? Which, that's its own situation. But I think it's important to understand the difference between a probate conservatorship and a mental health conservatorship. For mental health, conservatorship doesn't allow the option for anyone to make any money off of it. So the probate conservatorship was chosen for a reason, and that rationale just kind of adds to the case against it being fraudulent.
Are there kind of clear bad guys in this?
Yes.
It is widely believed within the Free Britney movement that the conservatorship was the brainchild of a business manager named Lou M. Taylor. It was her idea to push her into a conservatorship to essentially take over Britney's estate.
Does it upset you, the whole situation?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was hard because I'm one of the ones, and most of the people I associate with, we thought from the beginning it just didn't make sense. And that's why we get each other, because we all knew something wasn't right with Britney.
I don't think that people understand really what Britney means to us. It's easy to think it's silly. I just don't think that those people understand what she's done for us and how much she means to us, and that we're not gonna give up on her.
I can see you love her, don't you? You all do.
Yeah.
Guys, I've really enjoyed speaking to you. I know this is your private time and your private meeting, so thank you for letting me in.
For many fans, the mastermind behind the conservatorship isn't Jamie Spears, but Lou Taylor, Britney's former business manager. I reached out to them both to get their side of the story. Whilst I waited for a response, I started my own research into Britney's current state of mind, in the only place I could.
Britney dancing.
In some of these videos, Britney looks erratic. But most of the time, she just seems happy. Looking for clues on Britney's socials isn't exactly a science. You can see whatever you want, really, and many people do.
Okay, I have a weird theory about why this picture in particular was posted on Britney's Instagram.
Some fans believe she's not even in control of what she posts, whilst others believe she's leaving a trail of coded messages.
Wait a minute. What is she pointing to right there? On her hat? What is that?
Natural light always reveals the magic in the eyes.
That each of these poses represents a letter of the alphabet.
A couple comments said that you can see call 911 in her bottom eyelashes.
So, I zoomed in, and that shit literally says, help.
1998, Baby One More Time.
I remember when Baby One More Time came out. The video caused a massive stir. A schoolgirl wardrobe mixed with suggestive lyrics made this video one of the most talked about at the time and helped make it a huge hit. 27 million copies of the single were sold around the world. It's no fluke, there's a formula for making hits. Baby One More Time was an off-the-peg smash, written by a Swedish producer who supplied hits for the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. Britney's first single could have been big for TLC, but they turned it down. A song has to be packaged right, so Britney was presented as the new American dream. Schoolboys wanted to be with her, schoolgirls wanted to be her. And she was so cute, even the moms could buy in. The record company got its hit, Britney got her Hollywood life, and Mom Lynn got her mansion. Everyone wins, right?
Can you believe that song came out more than 20 years ago? Britney Spears was just 17 years old.
Fast forward 2 years, and Britney was the new pop princess, with two multi-platinum albums and one half of a celebrity couple that could have been thought up by the tabloids.
Very nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you as well.
How's it going on this lovely day?
No complaints whatsoever.
Are you all right?
Dancer Brian Friedman saw it all happening. He had a front row seat as Britney went stratospheric.
When did you start working with Britney?
I worked with Britney for the first time on, I think it was the Grammy Awards, 1999.
What was the song?
Britney did Hit Me Baby One More Time. Was that what it was? Hit Me Baby One More Time. Then there was a gap before I saw her again. But after that gap, I was with her for a huge chunk of life.
Did you get to the point where you went beyond the kind of pop star relationship and got to know her?
Oh, yeah. It was impossible not to know Britney because she was not a pop persona. She is normal as can be. She never talked about her fame. It was almost like it didn't exist, that you can be sitting with the biggest star on the planet and they don't think of themselves or act like that. I know
I may be young. I'm a Slave for You, 2001.
By 2001, Britney worked with Brian Friedman on making a video that would showcase a more adult Britney.
Slave for You was my first bout of choreography, and it was just one of those landmark moments for me in my career, and that's me dancing next
to her.
Where
are you? Where are you?
I've got long hair. I'm right there. I've got a black open shirt on.
Yes.
I'm to her left right there. And the girl in the hat that was just shown, that was my roommate at the time. That was my best friend, Gabe, that she pushed off the wall. These are all of my best friends. And I'm her partner right here in this section. But that looked like us on any night of the week at that time. We were in our heyday. We were going out. We were having a good time. So that really looks like what we would do.
When you were working with her, did you see a shift in how she was responding to fame?
She did not love having to lose her anonymity. She would be stopped nonstop. Fans, they don't really understand because they want to meet that person so badly and they think, this is my only opportunity. I'm standing right next to them. I've got to say something. That happens because it's everyone's one opportunity. Then you have the flip side of it, which is difficult to deal with, and that's the paparazzi.
That level of pressure, in your view, and from what you saw, did that contribute to what we saw in kind of the mid-2000s, late-2000s, where she was having trouble in a very public way?
After you've been going nonstop for 5 or 6 years on the road and traveling and working and recording and interviews and photo shoots, it takes a toll.
Did you step away from the world of Britney?
I was getting a lot of pressure from her fan base. I did an interview on MTV when we were working on Hold It Against Me, and I said something to the likes of, she's a mother now, so she's dancing differently. When I said this statement, her fans came after me hard. I was getting death threats.
You actually got death threats?
Multiple death threats weekly. And it got to the point where people were saying they were driving by my house waiting for me to step outside. And that to me was no longer fun. And I decided to bow out gracefully. I wished Britney the best and said, you know, good luck on this project. It's just not right for me to be here anymore. And I then walked away and my ulcer went away. Last time I saw her, I went and saw her show in Vegas and got to catch up with her for a minute backstage. But nothing has ever been the magic that it was back in our heyday. But we have our own lives. You know, she lives with her boyfriend and I live with my husband, and maybe someday we'll get to hang out and see each other again. Who knows what's on the horizon?
The huge success Britney experienced when Brian knew her didn't come out of the blue. It's something she'd been chasing her whole life.
From 2020 to 1992.
At just 10 years old, she was performing on national TV. To understand where Britney is today, you got to know where she came from. A small town called Kentwood, deep in Louisiana. The story starts with a cow. For generations, Kentwood was full of dairy farms. When they shut down, a lot of people were left without work. So baby Brittany didn't have a lot of money. Instead, she had dreams. She liked to sing and dance and be the center of attention. In those days, her mom Lynn was like her manager. She put Brittany in talent competitions, got her on kids' TV, and even traveled cross-country to get tiny Brittany in front of an agent. The first time she came to New York, Brittany asked, "Where are all the cows?" So the story goes. It worked. At 15, Brittany got a record deal. That's why today, Brittany is still Kentwood's most famous daughter.
A lot of people, they come here as a place of pilgrimage because this is where Brittany grew up. And so what I really want it to do is I want it to give me a real sense of who she was and what she was about. I have an inability to drive and talk at the same time. I have a complete inability to drive and talk at the same time. So in the short time it took me to explain how excited I am about Kentwood, I've driven through the whole town, so I've got to actually turn around. This place is tiny. It's really tiny.
A sign above a door reads, "Family Restaurant." Rabin steps inside. On the wall are old newspaper articles about Brittany.
A bunch of locals told me this is Brittany's favourite restaurant, a place she visits whenever she's in town. There was a tiny chance I might bump into her.
"We don't have Brittany today, but we got all of us. Y'all have the young
Brittany isn't here today. Do you think she's going to turn up in a little bit?"
"No, she hadn't been in a while, but we can be positive and say yeah."
"Yeah? Yeah, maybe she will.
Maybe so.
Maybe.
That'd be great.
You never know. You never know."
"Hello, how are you doing?
Are you okay? What are hush puppies?"
"It's like a cornbread fritter, but it doesn't have any meat. It's just like corn, peppers, onions, and a deep fryer."
"That sounds really nice. Can I get the large ones?"
"You sure can."
I'm trying to find out as much as I can about Kentwood and the area and how it contributed to the life of Brittany.
"Sweet girl. I've met her several times."
"Oh, you met her?"
"Yeah, she's came in here several times. I've been here 20 years, and out of the 20 years that I've been here, she's been here about 10 or 15 times."
"And what is she like? How does she behave? How does she come across?"
"She's a down-to-earth person. If you wouldn't know who she was, you would think that she was just a regular customer coming in."
"You yourself and the town, are you proud of her?"
I am. She's kind of a hometown hero. Your food will be out in
just a minute."
Thank you.
"Thank you, Jackie."
Brittany was a no-show, so I decided to take a look around.
"She grew up here. When she come home, she hang out at Sonic's or somewhere like that. No big deal about her. Ordinary person. Fun to hang out with."
"Brittany, when I remember her, she was a little girl. So I'm proud of the fact that she's had her success and that she was able to live her dream. But more important than that, I would like to see her happy."
A sign reads, "Kentwood Historical and Cultural Museum."
A few people told me I should drop in at the Museum of Kentwood. And if I was lucky, I'd get to meet the curator, Miss Faye.
"Hello, are you Miss Faye?"
"I'm Miss Faye."
"I'm Mubin, how are you doing?"
"I'm good."
"Very nice to meet you. Can I come in?" "Thank you."
"This, of course, is the Kentwood Museum with our famous girl, Brittany. It's 1, 2, 3, 4 rooms of it. Some of it is from Brittany and her family. Some of it is from fans. We're a fan-friendly museum."
"Mm-hmm."
"So I try to tuck everybody's things in here somewhere and be able to tell a story about it."
"You know, a lot of people have fans that love them, but do you find her fans are particularly dedicated?"
They are. And they get upset when there's negative things. Just like me, I get upset with the negative. I've had people that come in sometimes and want to interview and they want to know the negative. And I said, "I don't do that."
"Sure."
"I don't do that. I don't talk about this girl. She may have some problems, but you're not going to hear me say anything about them. She's been a young child, basically, that grew up in a goldfish bowl, and she's had so many people try to tell her what to do."
when things really kind of mushroomed, she was still really young, wasn't she? Did she love it?
She had a problem accepting it, really, accepting the fact that the money is there, the money's real, the fame is there, is real. She told me one day, she said, "Miss Faye, I remember when I had to save up the money to buy a new pair of tennis shoes." She says, "Now they tell me I can afford them."
Things hadn't exactly been easy for the Spears. Lynn and Jamie began their married life in a trailer park, and later, they struggled to put food on the table. The drive to make Britney's career a success was perhaps a way out.
Here's her bedroom down here.
Oh, okay. What do you mean that's her bedroom down here?
All her furniture and everything, her growing up stuff is
from her actual bedroom?
Her dolls, her teddy bears, her furniture, everything in there was Britney's.
Are you proud of her?
Yes, I am. A lot of people say, they'll say, "I'm from Kentwood, home of Britney Spears."
In the museum, I picked up a copy of Lynn Spears' memoir, Through the Storm. She writes about the route to conservatorship. It's a grim picture, chaos and disorder, and two parents desperately trying to save their child, who happens to be one of the most famous faces on the planet. When I look at that, I think about a mom being very concerned about her daughter and just wanting to be a mom. But knowing what I know from Kentwood, everyone that I met and every reference to the Spears family tells me they might have wanted fame, and Britney might have wanted to be a global star. But there's nothing that suggests to me that her as an individual or the Spears family altogether were ready for that.
A child's Britney doll standing on a miniature stage surrounded by lights. 4 days until the conservatorship hearing.
At age 38, Britney Spears is fighting her father in court, and the legal fight has energized the Free Britney movement.
In 4 days, Britney's conservatorship would be debated in court once more, and I'd be in the room to see it. I'd read about Lisa McCauley, an expert in probate law turned Free Britney campaigner, so I asked her to meet me to give me a crash course in conservatorship law.
I have spent the last 30 years as a probate and conservatorship attorney, mostly in Los Angeles County, but all throughout Southern California.
How did Britney Spears end up becoming the subject of a conservatorship?
Clearly, something happened after she gave birth. At some point, she was expressing feelings that maybe she didn't want to be here anymore. She's having a breakdown. Her father finds an attorney, and they know just what to do.
Once Britney was placed in a conservatorship, the court appointed Sam Ingham to represent her interests. Despite not having chosen him, Britney's estate has paid for Ingham's services for more than 12 years. It's a statement of fact that Sam Ingham is the attorney. So my question is, have you any idea how much money Sam is making from this?
It is my understanding that Mr. Ingham receives $10,000 a week.
A week?
A week.
She seemed quite upset by it.
Yes, I'm very upset by the whole thing. There is no outside agency or entity that you can talk to say, this is a systemic flaw, and I'd like to see the whole thing unwound.
Britney is going to be free of this. Do you think it's going to work out?
When they deprived her of her own attorney, of the attorney of her choice, that is the day that justice died for Britney Spears.
Despite all her money and status, Britney is trapped. It just seems wrong, but if you lay out all the pieces, you can see how things have ended up this way. Small town girl chases fame and fortune and gets it all. She's young, she's human, she makes mistakes. Only difference is the world is watching. Party time, a divorce, and a battle for custody of her two kids. It all unravels in public. Mom and dad just want their girl to be safe. So when someone says conservatorship, it seems like an answer. Except this quick fix ends up turning Britney into a prisoner.
And that's where we are today.
A palm tree.
I was yet to hear back from Jamie Spears, but I did get an email back from Lou Taylor, Britney's former business manager, accused of being the mastermind behind the conservatorship by some fans. Lou responded to my request for an interview, not with a yes or a polite no, but with a 15-page legal document. She says, one of the false rumors circulating on the internet is that Lou Taylor was part of the decision to create the conservatorship in the first place. This is completely false. Lou Taylor was hired to represent the estate 1 year after the conservatorship was created. Regardless of who instigated the conservatorship, court documents from 2019 show Jamie Spears agreed to pay TriStar, that's Lou Taylor's company, a minimum commission of $500,000 a year on Britney's earnings. Another false rumor circulating on the internet, largely by people within the Free Britney movement who are not familiar with the facts, is that the estate's money was mismanaged or that money supposedly disappeared. All such allegations are completely false and baseless. And it just goes on and on. They sign it off very politely. We are hopeful that this letter will clear up some of the misinformation that has incited fan hatred on the internet. As well as the letter, Lou Taylor's lawyer attached a file with what they say are messages from Britney's fans directed at their client. It's not exactly fan mail. I hope you die. I'll kill you and put a hole in your head. I will come find you and kill you. Britney deserves to be free, and you don't think I won't kill you, because I will. You are dead. I will gladly beat the shit out of you. Creepy stalker bitch. We will kill you, so take care of your fucking family. There's just page after page of this stuff. The one running theme through all of it, pretty much every message has a hashtag Free Britney. From the people I've met who know her and the footage I've seen, I imagine Britney would hate the abuse being sent in her name.
Mabeen's back on the road, driving through a desert environment.
I'm leaving LA behind for a couple of days and heading to Vegas. I want to meet Jordan Miller, a hero of the Free Britney movement. He started the fan site Breathe Heavy and is rumoured to be the first person to coin the phrase Free Britney. There's also an uglier rumour that fans have been threatened by the Spears camp for speaking out against the conservatorship. Apparently, Jordan is on the front line.
There's literally hundreds of thousands of people that read Breathe Heavy every month. We have 2 million people reached on Facebook and hundreds of thousands on Instagram, and we have a Twitter. So the social media reach is very expansive.
So you've got a real reach and you're engaging people.
Yeah.
Have you had any kind of interaction with the Britney machine, you know, like the formal Britney machine?
Yeah, over the years, like for instance, you know, 10, 12 years ago when this conservatorship was first put in place and I was very outspoken about the conservatorship, you know, that's when I ran into a lot of legal issues, really, with her dad, who personally called me to threaten to shut my site down.
He called you?
Yeah, he called me because...
Yeah, he actually picked up the phone and called you.
Well, an assistant called me and then put him on. And when he was screaming at me, he was like, "I'll destroy your ass." And I was
really?
Yeah, that's like a quote.
Is it true that you were the first person to use hashtag Free Britney?
That's sort of true. I'm the first person. The thing is, when I started writing about Free Britney and writing the term Free Britney on my site, hashtags weren't a thing. So I was writing the term Free Britney. That's true. I was one of, if not the first person to write Free Britney. And then in 2018, this voicemail came out by the Britney's Gram girls. That's when the movement was really created. The movement didn't exist.
What did the voicemail say?
Basically, it said Britney was put in a mental health facility against her will, and she's been given medication she does not want to take. And that's when kind of fans united to create this movement to Free Britney.
Hi there. I cannot disclose who I am. Britney has been in the mental facility since mid-January. Of course, the statement yesterday said she entered last week. That is not true. She's been in there since mid-January. from what I understand, this was not a decision she made.
Depending on what side of the argument you sit on, the claim that Brittany was put in a mental health facility against her will could be an act of care or an abuse of power. I reached out to the women behind Brittany's grant, but they didn't respond. A few people told me they suspected the whole thing had been a hoax. If that's true, it means a frantic wave of Free Brittany activity was fueled by a lie.
Los Angeles. In Beverly Hills, a yellow Rolls Royce is parked up at the side of a road.
During her heyday, Spears was relentlessly pursued by the paparazzi. Practically every time she left her house, she was besieged by photographers.
By the mid-noughties, the new model of celebrity had a darker edge. You couldn't just sing a song. The performance was now all day, every day. An entire industry was being built on spectacle. So Brittany fed the beast. It was fun hanging out with Paris and Lindsay and falling out of clubs. But the more Brittany shared, the more people demanded. All those eyeballs watching. And there's always someone around with a camera to snap your every move for a paycheck.
Rick?
Yes, sir.
How are you doing?
Very good. How
nice
are you?
Nice to meet you. I'm good, thank you. I'm Mabin.
Nice to meet you.
How's it going? What are you up to? What are you doing?
I'm just out scouting as usual every morning. You know, the Kardashians could be coming through here. You know, even our little girl Brittany might even show up. Who knows?
You reckon?
Why not?
Paparazzo Rick Mendoza worked for TMZ and Hollywood TV. I wanted to know if back then Brittany's well-being had even been part of the conversation.
So the first time you took a picture of Brittany, or the first time you were on that chase with Brittany, can you remember? What year was it?
Man, over 12, 13, 14 years ago. It was when she left Kevin Federline, when they split up and she went solo. All of us said, money. She was worldwide, globally, wanted.
The word I'd use in England, we say it's grubby. Do you know what I mean? It's a bit dirty.
Sure. She used us just as much as we used her. She knew the value of paparazzi.
Was she getting something from that relationship?
She couldn't afford to go on tour because she would have lost the kids in battle with Kevin Federline. She couldn't afford to do this, but what she could do was make drama. She stayed in the public eye for what, 2, 3, 4 years? Guess what happens after that duration of time had elapsed? Boom. She releases Circus. It sells double platinum. Worldwide tour, and she keeps the kids. Boom!
When Brittany shaved her head, what I see is someone that isn't feeling very good and probably isn't in a very good place.
Right, then why didn't she shave her head at home?
So I don't know, but
because she
you know,
wanted publicity.
But people,
you know, was it really the paparazzi?
Maybe it was the paparazzi. Maybe you contributed to that. Does that worry you?
No, because she was already going through situations before the paparazzi.
I'm sure it was your job. But if someone
Hold on. What did you say?
You were getting paid for
it. And what's the other part? It was part of my job?
It was your job.
Boom.
Yes.
It's public figure, public domain.
So you're saying essentially because someone has a public profile, their public property, their image is public property.
Yes, sir.
That's how you see it.
Yes, sir. That's not how I see it. That's the law. I didn't come here to take photographs. I came here to make a lot of money and make history.
Rick reckons everyone was a winner when he was chasing Brittany around with a camera. Looking at those headlines today, I just don't believe that's true. With the court hearing around the corner, no one from the conservatorship team had agreed to talk. But there's one person, never shy of controversy, who'd suggested the conservatorship was in fact a good idea.
Hey, what's up? This is Perez Hilton, and you're watching Hollywood.tv. Now I'm going to go make out with Shiraz.
Back in the mid-noughties, Perez Hilton was the celebrity blogger. He pretty much invented it and the cruelty that came with it.
I also brought her some new panties because I think Brittany should stay covered. We've already seen her vagina.
He had a love-hate relationship with Brittany. Most of the time, it was just hate.
Hello.
Hello, Perez. It's Mabin. How are you doing?
Good. Happy to have you here.
It's very nice to meet you. How are you
Come
doing?
On in.
Thank you.
Come on in.
You've got a lovely place.
Thank you.
It's so West Hollywood. You've been pretty outspoken in terms of saying Britney's conservatorship isn't maybe such a terrible thing, and maybe it's helping her.
If she didn't have a conservatorship in place, I would be concerned that Britney would be dead, truly. There are certain things, though, that I don't agree with. For example, Britney recently was petitioning the court to have her father removed as her conservator. That should absolutely be her right, okay? If she's under this conservatorship because she needs to, why should her dad be the one calling the shots and making money off of it?
The way you talk about it, you sound like very compassionate and nice. And I kind of wasn't expecting that. But you also sound quite nuanced. So you're not saying, you know, everything's perfect and we must all fight to free Britney. So I want to know, when you've made these statements and said things like the conservatorship could have saved her life, do you become the target of some of those fans?
The Free Britney movement thinks I'm on the payroll, that her dad is paying me, and that's not true. I just said I don't think her father should be her conservator.
Perez, I remember, so you seem to have a fair few ding-dongs with Britney, quite publicly. There's a picture that you took, I don't know if you remember it, is the one, it's just a picture of Britney in a car, and you wrote, "I need drugs" on it. There was another one, Britney, I don't know, maybe she's in an airport or something, you wrote, "unfit parent" on it. You were kind of bullying her, weren't you?
Yeah, it was awful, absolutely. I regret that deeply. And in my mind, I still, at that time, was not aware of her mental health struggles.
Do you think you might have contributed to having a breakdown?
Yeah, it's a possibility, and I feel awful. You know, I definitely don't do things like that anymore. I made a change many years ago.
He muses and shrugs, then purses his lips.
And I think, you know, many people will only ever be able to see me and view me and think of me as that person from back in the day. I know that if I were to die tomorrow, the majority of the world would celebrate. And it's okay. I am reaping the consequences of my actions.
What do you think is going to happen with Britney's conservatorship? Do you think it's going to get to a point where it's resolved?
I don't have any clue what's going to happen with Britney's conservatorship. And no one that you've spoken to probably does either.
When I speak to the fans, they are so clear cut that the conservatorship is evil and it's about exploiting Britney. If I believe what Perez says, the conservatorship could be saving Britney's life.
Nighttime.
With 48 hours until the next hearing, fan pages were buzzing with hope that Britney's father was about to be removed from the conservatorship. I couldn't stop thinking, what does a legal bind this complex do to a family? I reached out to Catherine Falk. Her father, Peter, was a US TV global export, playing Detective Columbo. Catherine witnessed the final years of his life when he was the subject of a conservatorship.
Hey, Catherine, how are you doing? Mubin, really nice to meet
you. Nice to meet you.
Okay, thank you. How's your day going?
It's going great.
So, all right. Yeah, can I grab a seat?
Sure. You want to sit down here?
Okay, yeah, perfect. This. Well, when I saw who your father was, I got really excited.
Oh, you did?
I did. My parents completely loved the show Columbo.
Oh, sure.
I want to know, first of all, did your dad enjoy being famous?
Oh, I think he really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think he really enjoyed it. I think he loved the attention, and yeah, he enjoyed it.
Tell me about him getting older.
He was really afraid of getting Alzheimer's because his dad had died of early onset Alzheimer's, and as you know, it's a hereditary gene, right? So as he aged, he just didn't know where he was or what he was doing, and he was scared. He was scared.
Did you, as a family, kind of pull together and do everything you can? What was his care like in that period?
My dad was married to a second wife. She couldn't stand us. I mean, we weren't even allowed to go into the house if she was there. Like, when we were little, right? So, of course, as he gets older and he begins to lose his faculties, she gets more controlling and isolatory. And my sister and I are kind of pushed away. I started to call my dad's private line. She picked up the phone and said, "Your father doesn't give a shit about you. He never wants to speak to you again."
If someone's saying to you, "Your father doesn't want to speak to you," that's a horrible place to be. What went through your mind? How did you know, can you remember putting the phone down that day?
I just remember thinking to myself, I was in a panic, like, I might never see my dad again. Then it was this whole big thing. Right? My dad was assigned a probate, it's called a GAL, a guardian ad litem, which basically is an attorney like what Britney Spears has. It's one of the most lucrative money-making machines in the United States. There's no incentive to letting somebody out of a guardianship because there's too many people that are profiting from this. Like, Britney Spears is in there and it's only because of money. And can I just tell you something? You never get out of it. You will never get out of a guardianship. It takes a miracle. You are literally standing in quicksand and you are sinking because all of the vultures are around and they're collecting money and they're not going to let her go. They don't let people go. The best case scenario is that the judge is going to say, okay, we'll remove the dad, but we're going to do a court-appointed guardian. We're going to pick our person. You don't like the dad? You don't like the way he's behaving? We've got somebody for you. And let me tell you something, they're far worse. With a public guardian assigned, they build the estate, they drain it down, they sell the property, they can put her in a nursing home, they can put her in a halfway house without her saying no.
When I came to LA, it was to chase the story of the Free Britney movement and to find out what was going on with Britney's conservatorship. I didn't think I was gonna be in a place where a woman like Catherine was gonna be telling me about how her family has been ripped apart by this system. And she says it's not just her. She's contacted by multiple people who've lost money, who've lost access to people that they love. If I watched this story and the stuff she was describing on a soap opera, I would think it was entirely implausible. I think that cannot happen in a civilized country. No judge would allow that to happen. And yet what she describes is a system that is just rife with exploitation.
I reached out to Catherine's stepmother, but she didn't get back to me. She's previously responded to these allegations in court and maintained that she took good care of Peter Falk.
Beverly Hills, one day until the conservatorship hearing. Outside a fashion store, a woman is being photographed. Mabeen's walking along a corridor looking for a door.
So I'm really hoping he makes it. This is 252.
It's the eve of the court date, and after weeks of to and fro, someone who claims to be speaking to Britney regularly has agreed to meet. This is my best shot at finding out what Britney really thinks.
Billy is quite a big deal. He's done makeup for Beyoncé. He's done Britney's makeup. I think he does Mariah's makeup too. And so I've been chasing him because he knows Britney, and he's spoken about her quite publicly. So he's flown across state. He flew in last night, and he's agreed to speak to me. Quite interesting, because there's been a lot of back and forth, and a lot of that back and forth has been about his relationship with Britney. So at one point he said that she's across this, and she knows that he's going to be speaking to me, and she wanted to know the subject areas we're going to be talking about, and I've got no way of knowing how true that is. Is that confrontational? I don't know. No, it's quite relaxed. Okay. Let's try that. So now I've just got to wait for him to turn up. Brittany.
Hello.
Hello, I'm Mabin.
How are you?
Very nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
You've worked with a lot of people of very high status within the music entertainment world.
Everybody except for Cher and Madonna so far.
This is such a simple question, but it's a really big question. What do you think Brittany wants?
Brittany wants the most normal things. It's funny because I know that probably what everyone wants to hear is this, you know, super complex thing. She wants to be able to drive her car when she wants to. In the conservatorship, she does not have that right.
Do you speak about this stuff with Brittany's blessing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Does she know you're speaking to me?
She knows. I let her know when I'm going to do an interview.
There's so many competing theories, especially if you look online.
Right.
And one of the theories is, well, the fans might not like it and the public might not like it, but she's just not well, so she needs protection.
Well, that's not true. It's important to point out that there is an army of attorneys on the conservatorship side working against Brittany that her money is paying for, while she has a court-appointed attorney like a hooker on the street. Brittany is at a place in her life where she has nothing to be ashamed of. She has no problem owning everything that has happened. She's past that. She's healing from that because she has nothing to hide. I mean, we all know, you know, that she stumbled, you know, and had some challenges like we all do.
What do you think is driving her father to assert this level of control?
Certainly there is a lot of money involved. But I think it's also as simple as, you know, it's a certain type of personality profile that he has, you know, sort of the machismo kind of, you know, father figure, it's my way or the highway. Brittany would just like it if her family didn't have to be involved. And then, you know, maybe there could be some healing. I'm just so lucky to know her. Watching her make the best of it, watching her grace and it's inspiring.
The day of the conservatorship hearing. At LA Superior Court, a man's waiting outside wearing a face mask saying, hashtag free Brittany.
Now, how is she? Is she back in control mentally? Is she not suffering any breakdowns? Can she resume control of her finances, of everything else in her life?
This morning when I woke up, there's just a ton of rumors online. So there's people saying Jamie Spears is gonna fight to keep his space in the conservatorship. There's gonna be a big change, expect big news today. I mean, the fact is no one actually knows what's gonna go on in there. No one knows if Brittany's gonna show up. She could appear remotely. She could be in there, but no one knows really what's gonna happen. And I know as well that there are fans watching this globally. There's a lot of people that are gonna be here and they're gonna be looking for news and they're gonna be looking for any crumbs of information online. The fact is no one knows what's actually gonna happen today. I might be in there for half an hour. I might be in there for the whole day. Let's see.
Mabin looks at his phone, then heads towards the court entrance.
Around the world, fans and Free Britney activists were tuning in online, waiting for news.
It just ended, the hearing did. So, your face is still like, oh. I don't have any information either, so I'm as excited as you.
Later, Mabin comes out of the court holding a pad of paper.
So it was a bit messy, it was a bit quick. Brittany didn't show up, but her dad was on the line. He dialed in remotely. The ending of the conservatorship, that didn't even come up. That wasn't even referenced in court. So the idea
And what the fans are pushing for, this idea that Britney should be free and be free of the conservatorship, I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. After nearly 2 hours of dry legal debate, the court decided not to make a decision. It felt like the only people winning were the lawyers. Before I left, I tracked down Haley. As soon as I woke up this morning, I was looking online and there was a ton of rumors. Yeah? And so there's all this expectation. I didn't hear the reference to the conservatorship come up once.
This has been happening for over 10 years now, right? And it's obviously not going to come to an end anytime soon, probably in the next year or even 2 years. And so we know the conservatorship is not right for Britney, but essentially right now the main focus is getting, if there's going to be a conservatorship, getting it into someone with better hands, mm-hmm. and that's more hands-on and going to give Britney more of her human and civil rights back.
Is there any kind of worry with you that if this ends up being Britney versus her dad, and then her dad is cut out of the conservatorship, then he could be replaced by someone that has even less regard for what's best for Britney?
I mean, you could say it's a double-edged sword of he has too much interest, and so that could be too personal, and he could get away with a lot of things that allegedly he's been getting away with for over a dozen years.
There is a part of me that completely acknowledges that I don't know what is going on in her household. I don't know what's going on between Britney and her father and her mother. I don't know, and none of us can know, what is going on in terms of Britney's well-being. And so is there ever a little part of you that thinks, yeah, I love her and I'm a fan, but I don't have all the information present here?
When her lawyer reports that she hasn't talked to him in 3 months, it's not because he can't get a hold of her. She doesn't want to talk to him. So if anyone in general, whether it's Britney Spears, me, or you, doesn't want to talk to their father so strongly for 3 months, it's not just going to be over something minute and small. There's something bigger going on.
I don't think you are completely wrong. But what I worry about, and this is just my perspective, is that maybe you're not completely right either.
Do we have 100% of the details? No. Right. We don't know what mental issues she has. We don't know what she's diagnosed with. We don't know what medications and all that information. We just know something is wrong.
I can't see this being sorted in the next 12 months, really.
Nope.
And I think it is possible that it will go on way beyond that.
Yeah.
Are you still going to be here?
Okay, so I like to make a joke that my kids will free Britney if they have to.
Like the fans, I was hoping for a happy ending to this story. But now, I don't even know what that looks like. There's a clash. Those who say Britney is too unwell to decide her own fate, and the fans who just want their pop star back. To dismiss the fans is a mistake. Fact is, without their hashtag catching fire, the world wouldn't be having this conversation. And no doubt, the law is open to abuse, especially when there's so much money involved. At the centre of it all is Britney, in a gilded cage. She never asked to be the poster girl for legal reform. She just wanted to be a star. That status could end up holding her prisoner forever.
On April 27th, 2021, the UK held its first ever hashtag Free Britney rally. Meanwhile, in the Stanley Mosque courthouse in LA, the judge set a date for a very special hearing. On June 23rd, after 13 years, 20 weeks and 2 days of living under a conservatorship, Britney Spears will, for the first time, address the court directly. Jamie Spears was asked to respond to the allegations made in this film. He declined to comment.